Okay, let's pray. Father God, I pray that as we explore your word, Lord, and the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, that, Lord, we will hear what you have to say to each of us this morning, Lord. May we come to you with expectant hearts. And, Lord, leave this place changed by you and for you to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the introduction that Fran just given for gentleness, I am really the last person who should be doing this. I would describe myself as a bit of a bull in a china shop. So for me to talk about gentleness, okay, I can do this, I think. So Emma at the back, she's been with us in like this country only since April. And she went to America, Australia, when she was 18. And she's got a very big birthday this month because she's going to be a quarter of a century. I tell her it's not that big, but she's not having it. It is big. So Emma's been away a while. So over those years that she's not been living with us, we've sent a few letters, lots of postcards, but, you know, she's had things from us in the post. And everything I'd write to her, I signed it off with, be blessed and be a blessing. Right? Yes? Yeah. Everything I wrote to her, be blessed and be a blessing. Because after all, isn't it our hope that what we have will be a blessing? That God would bless us. Therefore, doesn't it follow that our present relationships should be characterized by being a blessing to others? Be blessed and be a blessing. And being a blessing to others, surely that speaks of gentleness. Fran's already quoted this, but I'm going to say it again from Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is the result of the Holy Spirit's presence in our life as a Christian. In each of us, the fruit of the Spirit is a result of God's Holy Spirit working in us. And the Bible makes it absolutely clear that everyone who receives Jesus, believes in Jesus, receives the Holy Spirit at that moment he or she believes in Jesus Christ. As that commitment is made to Christ, the Holy Spirit enters. For Ephesians 1 tells us, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So when we say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, I take him as my Savior, I want forgiveness for my sins, I want to lead a new life in him, that new life is in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. So a fruit of the evidence of the Holy Spirit, one of the fruits of the evidence of the Holy Spirit living in us, is one of gentleness. We are called to be completely humble and to be gentle. This is from Ephesians. To be patient, to bear with one another in love, and make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. No pressure there. Does anyone feel under pressure from those words? Because I certainly do. Somebody irritates me, do you know the last thing I want to be is humble. Somebody cuts me off driving, I'm not that patient. I actually want to get out the car usually and rip their heads off. I'm not that patient, I'm not that humble. And when you're in line, when you can see lane closed and you're patiently waiting the line that's remaining open and some person drives off that lane and expects to cut in front of you, I'm not the one to let them in. Sorry, I'm not that person. When I want the kids to do something, grown-up kids, okay? And they'll say, yeah, come on. And I'll say, yeah, so is Christmas. Which is okay now, because Christmas is coming. It's nearly Advent. But you know, it has a different ring to it in February. And I can remember one day when I was teaching. A teaching assistant I had named Jan. She was larger than life. She was absolute. If Jan hadn't been there, the school would have been a sadder place for it. She was an absolute rock, but she had lots of sayings. And one of these sayings was, when she was waiting for someone, I could grow a beard waiting for you. So one day I'm sat in my reception class in the room, and Jan is with the children, and the children were waiting for me to make an appearance. And one of the little boys, Myowa, he shouts out as soon as I walk in the room, do you know what, miss? We've grown a beard waiting for you. This child is 5 years old. So I am not the most patient of people. But you know what? That is exactly the point. Because under our own steam, we are not patient people. We are not... Well, maybe I'm speaking too generalised. I would not say we are all that humble all the time. But that's the point. Under our own steam, we're not. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the primary purposes of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives, that our lives are changed. It's the job of the Holy Spirit to conform us to the image of Christ, making us more like Him. Because left to our own sinful nature, this is from Galatians 5, chapter 9, verse 19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness and orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. They are the fruit of living a sinful nature, of living, I would suggest, our humble lives, without the help and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of these you may say, yeah, but I don't do those things. And some of them are a bit obvious. I don't do that, not me. But some of those things I've just listed, some are a bit more subtle. And it's hard sometimes for us to see, well, actually, yes, I do engage in such a thing. We're told in Corinthians 2, 2 Corinthians rather, chapter 5, 17, therefore, if anyone in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. So the Holy Spirit, as it comes into our lives, produces a type of fruit that reflect the nature of the Holy Spirit. So with the Holy Spirit living in us as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit producing that kind of fruit in line with the Holy Spirit. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit to conquer those acts of sinful nature. Because, as I said, left under our own steam, we cannot do it. It's impossible. But in this life, there will always be battles with our sinful natures. But with the power of this promised Spirit living in us, we can grow into that which God desires to be shown in our lives. So a return to be blessed and be a blessing. Peter gives us the instruction, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with a blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. This, what Peter is saying, isn't anything new. It's found of old in God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 12. There it says, and I will make you a nation, God saying, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. So the teaching that Peter gives us is not new. He turns to the words of David in Psalm 34. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So Peter is quoting verses from Psalm 34. And as I've just said, this teaching isn't new, because God told the nation of Abraham, Abraham, I will make you great. You will be a blessing. I will bless you. You will be a blessing. It's not new. But the problem is that people forgot about the nature of God's blessing. And the Jews thought that they would be blessed just on purely who they were. This is found in the challenge John the Baptist gave to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. When they were coming to him to be baptized, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think that you can say to yourselves, 'We as Abraham as our father.' I tell you that from these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham." John the Baptist was challenging the human call on who God should bless. The Jews at that time were saying, "Well, we've got Abraham as our father. We're okay, we're sorted." But John the Baptist challenged this. No, you cannot just claim this because of who you are. And actually, is this so different from today? The thought of the ungodly being blessed. Surely this goes against our nature. Those who do us wrong, as I've just said at the beginning of this. Surely we want to even this out. And it's easy for us to think, sinners deserve to be punished. And while I'm at it, don't we deserve a blessing? We often, I suggest, feel little or no obligation to be a blessing to the ungodly. But the whole point of Peter's teaching is that we should do otherwise. In verse 8, Peter is instructing, love one another. And this echoes the words of Jesus in John 13, when he said, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another." So the love of God and the love of one another go hand in hand. And you cannot love God and despise your neighbor. They're not compatible. So thinking about gentleness, in all that this what Peter's saying, he's saying be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Repay malice with a blessing. So gentleness runs throughout all of this. And this is what we are called to do. Again, the problem is that this standard is way, way, way too high. Even the most saintly of us on this All Saints Day would find this difficult. But you know, the rescue plan is in Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter found his voice, knowing for himself firsthand the power of the risen Christ, Peter knew for himself such forgiveness be following the denying of Jesus. He knew the forgiveness of God when Jesus gave him the opportunity to say 3 times, "I love you." So Peter could stand on the mistake he made, knowing that he had been forgiven, and he was able to preach to those very people who crucified Christ. And then when they realized what they'd done, and they asked Peter, "What should we do?" Peter declared to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This man Peter, who had been so broken when he denied Jesus, was given this opportunity to declare the message of Jesus, the love of Jesus. Repent and be baptized. So this standard of gentleness, this fruit of the Spirit, this instruction what we are given in the word from Peter, is beyond our doing, except through the grace of Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit living in us. So I've spoken a fair amount about gentleness and about being a fruit of the Spirit. So to conclude this, I just want to look at where gentleness is in the reading. It says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you. Give the reason for the hope you have, but do it with gentleness and respect." Now, my days as a girl guide come to mind. I've spoken a few times about how I was in guides for years and years. Kept me on the straight and narrow, terrified that my guide captain would find out what I was up to and stop me going to camp. My guide leader was so important in my life. So my days as a guide comes to mind in the words of the motto, "Be prepared." Be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you about the hope that you have. Now, when I was preparing this, I'm trying to think of some occasions when I've been asked absolutely outright about the hope I have. Sorry. And I was getting a wee bit concerned because examples weren't jumping to mind. And then Friday night happened. I was on Street Pastors. And we left here, I don't know, 11-ish. And just as we get to the bottom of Barbold Street, we come across a group of young lads who were all very smart. They're in shirt, tie. And we think, well. So we start talking to them, and one of them had a couple of trophies, and it had been their rugby awards night. So this lad who had the two trophies, one was awarded from the club, and one was awarded from the players. They'd voted for him as player of the year. So he's got these two awards, and he said, "Well, nice, out now, what should we do with these?" So I thought, I said, "Why don't you go and put them in church?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, Holy Trinity, St. Elphin's, no, Holy Trinity, the clock tower, we can go back up there and we can put them in, keep them safe," which is what we did. We walked them up, put them on the back pew. The lads walked in and thought, "Whoa, we have walked past this place so often and we have never been in here." So this is now coming on to midnight. We took them round, we showed them all the displays, and they were so touched. And I said to them, he had my mobile number, I said, "Give us a ring when you leave in town." I said, "If we're in Trinity, great. If we're nearby, great. If we're caught in something, we won't be able to help you." I said, "But you can get your trophies then tomorrow, Sunday, next week." Anyway, when they rang, we were here having our break. So met them at the door, brought them in, and only two of them came that time. And okay, we're talking now about a lad aged 20-ish, 19, 20. He'd had a couple of drinks. But you know what? If it took that to then for him then to ask questions, so be it. And he asked about hope. And he asked about faith. And what is it? Why have you got a faith? And you can see this lad is searching for something. So we started to talk about the peace of Christ and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and, you know, those promises that are in Scripture. and that there's so much more to life than what we have at present, and death is not the end. I don't know where that's going to go. Hopefully some seeds have been planted. That was the beginning of the evening, the end of the evening. Come across young woman, age 23, 24, and she's in bare feet. So we give her a pair of flip-flops. This young lady is a Jehovah's Witness, and she's in a long-term relationship with a non-practicing person of another faith, not Christianity. And we were talking to her, and she says about her parents being Jehovah's Witnesses, and one day they got the knock on the door and opened the door, and they said, "Do you believe?" And they were just decorating the Christmas tree at the time. So they invited the Jehovah's Witnesses in, and the way they thought was, do you know what, if nothing else, our girls are going to have good instructions for life. And that's why they became Jehovah's Witnesses, because somebody knocked on their door and offered them a message. So this lady we were talking to, she wants to know about our faith and what the differences are, basically. And how it came about was, yes, she believes in Jesus, but no, she does not believe he is God. She believes he's a messenger who came to give a message. She doesn't believe that at the end of this life, then we have that assurance that we are with Jesus. At the end for her, it's a maybe. It's a maybe something. And for us to talk to this girl about our belief and our hope that we have in Jesus and be assured of that was such a wonderful opportunity. So going from a preparation to thinking, I can't think of many occasions, to Friday night alone being able to do this. We need to be prepared to share that message of the hope we have in Jesus Christ. And we need to do so with gentleness. Some of what she was saying on Friday night was, to my ears, quite offensive. But for me to come back at her is not the answer. It was to listen to her and to present with gentleness something different. So Peter said, he didn't say how often would be asked. He said, be ready when it does. He said, repay evil with a blessing. And that's only possible through hope, the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Returning good for evil is possible because of hope. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. And that's from 1 Peter. So let us pray that each of us grow in gentleness, that we grow in all the fruits of the Spirit, that we listen to these words and we take them to heart. Let us pray that the evidence of the Holy Spirit living in our lives, by that fruit that people see, will make such a difference that people will feel compelled to ask us about the hope we have in Jesus Christ. And what we need to do, be prepared in gentleness to give an answer. Amen.